So it might actually pay for someone who's to have one of those, 3 foot thermometers where you just poke it in there to make sure that it's not overheating.
Well, it would, though there's nothing wrong with just using your hand, and you'll certainly get a feel. You certainly quite quickly realise when the temperature's getting up over around about the 30 degrees that the bedding will feel quite warm, although to be more precise and be able to gauge exactly whether it's getting hotter or cooler, a thermometer, I for many years have used a thermometer which is only about 6 inches long, and that's sufficient that once you scrape away the top, just drop it in. Because bear in mind that worms like to stay in the top 6 to 8 inches of the bedding. So if you can work on keeping that area at the ideal temperature, that's all you have to worry about. Over.
Yeah, David, I've got a question here from another farmer, which is from Rick Preston, and I'll read it out to you. It's in your first DVD, David, you stressed that your compost tea was made from vermicompost, not vermicast. The reason being there was much more fungi present in the unrefined vermicompost rather than the refined vermicast. Could you please explain on this, as I am a little confused? In other words, I think, can you understand that?
Yes, I can. Yeah, and he's spot on with what Rick's spot on with what he's saying in quoting me. Technically, pure vermicast is basically 100% worm poo, the excretion of the worms. It's very difficult to get 100% vermicast because the worms would have left that the material because there'd be no more food left in it. So we're always working with somewhere between pure food when we first put the worms in and finished vermicast where they've eaten every bit of it. So technically, pretty well, whatever we're going to be working with technically is vermicompost, which is a mixture of the finished worm poo and still some uneaten food. However, if you get too far down the track towards it being finished and the product becomes too fine, it then becomes a habitat that's far more suitable for the bacteria and less suitable for the fungi, because the fungi like to live and hang on to the larger pieces of straw and hay and chaff and bits of paper and things like that. So to get that ideal mix, you need to sort of take your vermicompost out of your worm bin before it's been processed too far. Does that make sense?
Yep. We'll ask another question, then we'll come ask you about storing the stuff. During the hot summer months, it is obviously important to keep the moisture up to the compost beds. I find that the top of the compost is much drier than the middle of the bottom. Is that a problem? Because the compost worms tend to be top feeders. I might as well ask the third question so you can lead on to that. When in autumn would you recommend spraying compost tea, or is it better to wait till it rains in the autumn break?
Okay, got that. First of all, back to the worm bin where there's the different levels of moisture, obviously in the summer, around the edges and on the top is almost impossible to keep moist all the time. That's not a problem. I'd be looking at the area between, say, the 4 inches and the 8 inches depth of the worm bin to be able to keep that as moist as possible. I found here that, like, we've recently had quite a lot of rain and we've probably had 25 mils in a day and we've finished up having 2 or 3 inches. And the worms in my windrows are looking much bigger and fatter and healthier than they had been in the couple of weeks before when we had a really dry spell. So I guess in an ideal situation, you'd have a system, if you're designing the perfect system, where you'd probably have some sort of time sprinkler system that every 2 or 3 hours you'd give the worm bed a little dose, a sprinkle of water to keep that maximum moisture up to them, but in most cases that's not practical, and I myself probably, when we're busy in hay and everything else, that might water my my windrows every second or third day, which means that some of that time it is getting drier than what is the optimum. But it's a matter of balancing out, trying to get the optimum and doing all your other chores at the same time. So if anything, it pays to err on the side of being a bit wet rather than a lot bit dry, but at the same time you've got to also balance just how much water you've got and how much time you've got to do it. But you can't overwater them. Providing you've got good drainage, you're not going to overwater them. You can't, you won't. And the only way you can overwater them is you drown them, and to drown them you have to have them in a container where there's no drainage. So erring on the side of moisture rather than dryness is a better thing to do. And the way to try, and that then brings in the factor of trying to conserve the moisture by having suitable sort of cover over them to stop the evaporation. In terms of applying the biology in the autumn, I think it is safer to wait until there's moisture in the ground. It may be a possibility that if you put it out dry, the bacteria and fungi would simply go to sleep and lay there until the moisture came, but that's only a guess. What I do at the moment is I wait until we've had a good soaking rain, and at a time of the year where it's fairly likely that there'll be follow-up rain, and then get out and put the worm tea on. So I think my personal opinion is it will be risky to put the worm tea out before you got the autumn break. Over.
Yep, but is it a prerequisite to have moist soil at least, or is that not? The farmers have ever sprayed out when the soil is not ideally moist. It's just a bit dry on the top, but still moist underneath.
I would think that again would be risky, bearing in mind when you try and imagine the size of these little animals that we're talking about. If there was half an inch of really dry, crusty covered earth on top, I'm only guessing here, but I imagine that they would more than likely perish, or at least some of them would be lost to the access to the ultraviolet light before they had a chance to get into the soil. Whereas you put them out wet into moist soil, then obviously that soil is going to absorb that moisture a lot quicker. We know what it's like when the rain just after a dry spell and the water just hits the top and beads up and runs away. So I think you would have much larger losses and possibly 100% loss if you did put it out dry. I know the farmers are now, the no-till farmers are sowing their seed in January, February and happily just leaving it sit there until the rain. Seed's not a living organism like the bacteria and the fungi, so I'd be advising people to wait until there's moisture in the soil. Over.